with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Welcome to the Movie Night Podcast, everybody. I am TK Kelly, and I'm here, as always, with my stellar co-host, Dwayne Perkins. Each and every week, we choose one movie to watch with a special guest, and then we talk about it to you. It is a billion-dollar idea that we stole from every other podcast that does it.
And this week, our special guest is, she's going to be in the Woman in Comedy, if I'm saying that right, Festival. I met her at the Bridgetown Festival in Portland. She's done that one as well. Very funny stand-up comic and writer, Danielle Radford.
Thanks for being here, Danielle.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're happy to have you. What's going on? What have you been up to lately?
Well, I just moved here probably about 2 months ago from Seattle, Washington.
Oh, new transplant.
Yeah, I did.
So many Seattle people here. I love it. I feel like I know so many Seattle comics.
There's so many more of us coming, too.
Oh,
we're the fucking worst.
You guys are good, too. I hate it.
Yeah, they're good comics.
I know so many good comics that came from Seattle.
Yeah, we just hide ourselves out in the Pacific Northwest where no one dares to tread. And then we come down here and it's just like, oh, you know.
That's great. How are you liking it so far?
I like it a lot. My roommates are the shit. I live out in Echo, which I really like. Yeah, no, it's good. I like it a lot. I'm still getting used to a lot of, like, I don't have a car.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
I did the same thing when I moved out here. It's hard, but
UberX is saving my dick.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good that they have that. When I came out here 4 years ago,
in my day,
they didn't have that. I could only go where the Los Angeles Metro subway goes.
Oh, God.
And it's like four places.
Yeah, that's nowhere.
Terrible.
Oh, there's a train. No, there's like four trains. Yeah, no. And they go to like two neighborhoods.
I think it's more of like a tram. It's like an airport, monorail. It just goes a couple spots.
It's vicinity based. That can get you in the vicinity.
Oh, yeah. And
then.
And then you got to take a $40 cab to wherever you're actually going.
Yeah.
Unless you can also take it to Long Beach and get killed on your way.
Oh, my God. Can I take it to Venice and get my weed card without getting my California ID?
Yeah.
I want to keep it 206 as long as I can.
Oh, it's tough. I did the same thing. I was able to get it the first time without having a California ID as long as I had proof of residence.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't renew it after that. So that's just knowledge for anyone who's curious.
I do. That's just like a letter, right? Like just like, hey, letters come to my house, so I live
you have
here,
to.
Right?
It's like a utility bill, or I brought a lease. The copy of the lease.
I signed one of those.
That's great, because that way it's like they can't dispute that. It's and it has to be like a yearly lease. If it's a month to month, they won't give it to you because you could
purchase.
Leave whenever you want.
This is for one purchase, though.
No. It's for a year.
Oh,
for a year.
Oh, okay.
I feel like just having a card that says I'm from a state where weed is legal
should be
enough for me to just be able to buy it.
You're grandfathered in. It's like, oh, I already did this shit. I don't understand.
Right. Yeah, like, we made this legal. Like, calm down.
You're welcome.
But if I'm hearing you correctly, I think what you're saying is you're thinking about keeping your license from Washington.
Yeah.
But then having a medical marijuana card from Cali.
Mm-hmm.
Because like when I moved here from New York, from Boston. I moved here from Boston. My thing was the same thing. I didn't want to trade in my license.
Yeah.
So every time a cop pulled me over or anything, I was like, oh, I just moved here. I just moved
That's
here.
Why I kept my New York ID as long as I could. It came in handy that way.
But you can't say you just moved here, and then if they do a little more digging, you have this California weed card.
Yeah. I mean, whatever.
It's
a sentimental thing. It was like I wanted to keep that license, and then once it expired, I went and got. I didn't renew my weed card because I was like, well, I'm not getting a new license. Fuck that. there are other means.
I
don't smoke that much, so it was like I'm fine.
Did you stock up right before? Bring out one of those pallets from Costco and just start filling it up.
I went into the dispensary. And I was like, so is there a limit? Or
that's great.
There was not. It was great. All right, let's talk about this movie, guys. The movie that we watched this week is from 1985. It is The Last Dragon.
Yes.
A cult classic, directed by Michael Schultz, produced by Barry Gordy, Motown producer.
It's Barry Gordy's Last Dragon.
Gordy's Last Dragon.
Starring a lot of people with one name that you have never heard of. Tamac. Which
T-Mac.
I believe isn't that the brand that makes like that paper that goes on the roof before you put down the shingles?
Perhaps.
Vanity, who is not a porn star.
No, she was a Prince protege.
Oh, and she was a very good looking girl. Vanity, it just struck me as, I'm like, man, the 80s were weird. She was like, no, that's just my name.
That's just my name now. Well, she used to have a group called Vanity Six,
yep.
But there was only
three
of them.
I checked into them. That's great. Well, let's see, that's the catch. It's like Ben Folds Five. They're like, how many of you are that? Three of us. And who was the last guy? Christopher
Nine
Murney.
Inch Nails.
Christopher, the only guy with two names. Yeah. Christopher Murney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know who the hell he is either. What did you guys think of this movie?
Well, first I will say Danielle told me this was her favorite movie. And it's one of my favorite movies. So
it's my favorite movie. Yeah. It's been my favorite movie since I was a kid.
My fiance loves this movie. And I had never seen it, and
she
was always she was always so mad at me for never seeing it. And I was like, "Guess what? I have to watch this week for the podcast." She was so happy.
Nice.
Oh my God, marry her tomorrow.
Oh, I mean, that's the plan.
No, just no, Murphy, just do it now.
Well, like it's a movie. Danielle and I were talking about it. Like, you have to see it as a kid to get the true majesty of it all. Because
you can't. Like, she was saying the same thing.
You can't sit down with an adult.
I did.
And then, like,
I just saw this for the first time on Saturday.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I can't.
My mind is blown. I don't know what it is.
That's tough.
I don't know. Like, my brain could not compute it. Like, it ended, and I looked at her and I was like, what was that? No. Like, I literally started looking up on the internet whether it was a comedy or a drama. And the internet, by the way, doesn't seem to know.
No, I think it's just like a 90 minute commercial for whatever the Motown catalog in 1985 was.
I think Motown was at a point where the music wasn't popping.
So they just put full songs and music videos in this.
They had the barge.
I loved it, though.
They had the barge.
The barge.
And they threw a music video in. They just threw a music video in.
They threw in so many musicals. Yeah. And they found like a way to do it. She's like a music video girl.
It was partially, certain sites listed it as a musical. Others said comedy, others said drama. I was like,
is it a kung fu
movie? You just don't know how to...
It's literally
like
someone...
You know what's funny is so few sites actually like qualified it as a martial arts movie. I'm like, what?
That seems like the obvious one.
Yeah, I guess they're just like, well, that's a given.
Well, William H. Macy is in it, so it can't possibly be a martial arts
movie. And Chaz Palminteri.
Chaz Palminteri. I thoroughly enjoyed those early appearances where, like, that's all I was doing was pointing out. I was like, Kate, do you know who that is? Do you know who that is?
Right.
She was like, oh my God, I never realized that. William H. Macy is the neon jacket wearing shiesty manager.
He's the one that sets it all up, basically.
Yep, JJ.
And you can tell Berry Gordy's hands are in this because it's like he sat down with a pen and just said, okay, what do black people love? They love Bruce Lee. And they do. Black people love Bruce
Lee. That's true. They love Prince.
They love Prince.
Can't go wrong there.
You know, they love girls that look like Vanity Six, and they love music. And they love pizza. Go. You know what I mean?
Oh, it was great. It was like that, though. It was like this weird, like, amalgamation of 40 different movies just shoved into one. And it was, I loved it. I didn't know what the hell it was, but I was like, damn, I enjoyed that.
But it's like, I was watching it with a friend, and I was quoting, like, every line, and my friend's like,
so your friend was like, shut the fuck up.
I was saying it right before they would say it.
Of course.
Oh, God.
And she was like, because you're the worst. That's terrible.
But you know, I do that when I'm in a car listening to rap music with someone, and there's a lyric that I want them to hear. In my mind,
you preempt it.
They hear it better if I say it with the rapper.
You're like
really
you're
self-centered,
like human,
Dwayne.
You're like human control B. You're just bolding.
That's
like,
funny.
Everything that comes
I'm afraid
up.
Jay-Z may not articulate clearly enough, so I'm gonna have to say it with him. So you know,
just so you catch the intricacies of that line.
Yeah.
I like it.
But this movie, like the thing, what I love about this movie, watching it as an adult, and first of all, I want to say, I think I told you this too, Danielle. This is the first movie I watched on a VCR. Like whenever we got a VCR, I don't know. I think we were late to the game. I'm not sure. But the first thing I popped in was The Last Dragon. And I think I had already, you know, saw it or seen it in a movie theater. But watching it now, when the villain, this movie, you can't take it seriously and you have to forgive it. Because the movie doesn't try to be anything than what it is.
No. This movie knows
what
it is.
That's why I didn't hate it, because it's ridiculous, but it's okay.
Knows.
It's
fine. There's piranhas, there's 80s.
Are there? They never even explain what the hell's in that tank.
I think they're piranhas.
I know, but they referred to it as though it was one thing a lot.
Yeah.
There was just this tank that they would stick people in to torture them, and they would get their flesh bitten off, but they never... I always expected, like, that's going to be the big reveal
at the end,
like... Bruce Leroy is going to be fighting somebody, and that's going to come into play. And they're just like, nah, we're good.
No, we're done.
It's just something in a murky water tank. Whatever.
My Asian friend pointed out to me another thing, and I'll get back to the villain. She pointed out to me that, black people, we tend to, like, paint a really broad stroke with Asian people. Like, I don't do it personally because I know a lot of Asian people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't confuse Thai food with Chinese food, and I know more than most people, but... like this movie is like, it's like he's saying Japanese stuff.
Oh yeah, this
but he's
movie
practicing
is just
kung fu.
This movie is just and putting just, every just, Asian denomination into. They're like, you're Asian, whatever.
You're Asian, get in.
If,
get
this
in
movie,
Ernie Reyes,
if this
Junior.
Movie was a Stephen Colbert tweet, it would cause a right. huge controversy.
Right, right.
It was remarkably racist in that way.
But that's, yeah. That's what the '80s was like, though.
Oh
I think
yeah,
you
could pull that off. It was. I mean, look, there was. I don't know. I can't ever seem to figure out why. But for much longer than any other race, it's been okay to just shit on Asian culture, and it's just like, ah, whatever, you just take it lightly. It was very strange.
I think it's like a perception of meekness.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which is some old bullshit, because I grew up in Hawaii. Asians is not meek if you get them all together in one place.
No, they're not meek. But
when,
also,
when it's like an island where they're, then you know.
Yeah.
Well, also, I think they let it all slide, because they were like, we're just counting paper over here. That's cool. You know
just
what I mean?
Slowly right. acquiring everything.
That's fine. We're all one. Okay. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. That's a good point. Danielle, I want you to expand on this a little bit, because you seem to you picked this movie. What was it? What is it about?
You did, yeah.
What is it about this movie that you love so much?
Okay. So I love bad movies. I didn't realize it as a kid. Like, I didn't know that was my thing. I just like this movie, Beat Street, Breaking 1 and 2.
Oh,
like
those Electric Boogaloo.
Oh God. So those were my fucking movies when I was a kid. And I didn't realize. And now as I grow up, like Showgirls is one of my favorite movies. And like a bunch of others. And I've realized there's a thing that makes like a bad movie work, where that turns a bad movie from something that's just bad to something that's great.
Yeah.
And first of all, it's got to be sincere, so it can't be like Snakes on a Plane.
Right.
Where they
trying to be a B movie.
Yeah. Like it has to be like a real thing.
Yeah. They're trying to make a good movie.
Yeah.
They're trying, or what they perceive to be a good movie.
Yeah. they're doing the best they can.
Yes.
God bless them.
It's earnest.
The second is obviously it has to be bad. And there has to be some kind of like spectacle. So something like Xanadu, where there's a lot of music, and like, you know, Breakin', where there's a lot of dancing and music. And this movie had fucking all of it. There was dancing, music, there was fighting. Dudes are suddenly glowing from nowhere.
Oh,
there's fucking horrible
God.
Special
oh,
effects.
So good.
It's everything.
It's
those
wonderfully self-indulgent. Like,
this is the movie I would make if you could just peel my thoughts out of my head and make them a movie. It would be this movie.
And if there's like no constraints put on you, it's just like, do whatever your heart desires.
Yeah, it's fucking movie.
Run with it.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
It's great. It is so campy and enjoyable, like that. It didn't bother me, like, that I was like, I don't know if I'm watching a spoof of something or a real thing.
And
by the end, I was like, no, this is real.
But it straddles that line.
Like, oh,
it shows you Bruce Lee, and then he has an eye. And like Bruce Lee's in the movie. Like they just put everything in it. Like, you get about 10 minutes of Bruce Lee. Just
That's why
Bruce
they didn't
Lee
have time to
screen.
Explain what was in that tank. Because they're like, we got to leave some shit on the cutting room floor. We're not losing any Bruce Lee. Get rid of it. Just don't explain what this creature is.
We'd include this full DeBarge video.
That was freaking amazing. And also, that was nominated for a Golden Globe for the best original song. That movie was written for, I mean, that song was written for this movie.
Wow.
I had no idea.
I didn't either.
That's a classic.
And that's
song.
A good song.
That's a good song.
I mean, oh, it's great. So catchy. I mean, and granted, every other song that was written for this movie was nominated for a Razzie that year.
Yeah, that's
those
fair.
Songs
but
are bad.
That song is so good.
I know the Seventh Heaven song.
Yeah.
Like, by heart. Me and my sister sing that to each other.
That was one of them nominated for the worst. The other one was The Last Dragon, like the theme song that was all.
Oh, God.
It was clearly.
I know that one by heart as well. Yeah. I work out to that song.
I think we should do a second episode where you sing the entire song.
Right.
I would really enjoy that.
And the other thing is that the girl who, so there's a girl who wants to be a star, and her boyfriend tries to force her onto the show.
Seems like a Cyndi Lauper sort of.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It seems like it was '80s. They were like, we need a Cyndi Lauper. Like they just threw everything in. Like,
and she talked like this, Eddie.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was so. Oh my God, I loved it.
My boyfriend, it can be a little rough at times. It was, When Shownuff comes in, well, first of all, the villain is named Shownuff.
Yes, we have to address Shownuff, perhaps the greatest character in recent cinema history. He was amazing.
He was amazing. And then out the gate, you're like, wait, so the bad guy is named Shownuff. And I love the way
he has
dressed.
A mantra.
And you could see that dress, that is like Mad Max. That was like 80s vigilante kind of, you know, Guardian Angels garb.
Oh, yeah. He, like, painted football pads and was just wearing them.
And nobody's mad that this guy, like, he's like, fighting people in sanctioned competitions wearing full-on football pads. Like, and he's huge. I'm like, why is no one addressing this?
Yeah.
It was great.
Oh, man. And, like, growing up, we would quote the movie because, like, the movie scene, the first scene is just sort of like, you know, like, catches bullets with his teeth.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And teeth. And they just, I'm going to use the N-word. And then they just drop an N-bomb. He's like, nigga, please. And
that's, you know, like,
that's
so
what you would say. That's what you would say.
So that is what you would say.
Yeah. My fiance legitimately said, she's getting a lot of play in this one. She said, did they come up with that? Like, did this movie originate? Because it was so, like, it was just so well delivered, and she was in that,
oh,
in that
God.
Moment, she was like, I don't know if people said that before this movie.
Oh my God.
But this movie was so quotable in a way that I didn't realize because I had never seen it, and watching it, I'm like, oh, I've heard these quotes.
Yeah.
I know on a Beastie Boys track, the Hey Leroy in the background.
Hey,
I never knew where that was from.
Yeah.
And, also, the Busta Rhymes video where he is Shownuff. I never knew what that was.
Yeah, I
saw Shownuff and I was like, oh, it looks like Busta Rhymes in that one video.
Right.
No, I got it. I got you, Busta. I see what you're doing there.
That is funny. No, for the record, nigga, please, like...
Sorry, guys, you guys are black. Yeah, tell, like, me, where did this start?
Personally, I feel like probably about 10 minutes after the first person said nigga.
then the nigga, please.
Then someone else said nigga, please. It probably went like this. They were on a ship coming here, and they were, you know, whipping them. It was really heinous conditions. And the guy said, you know, you niggers rowed his boat, right? And then one of the black guys says, I think we should overcome them, right? And then the guy next to him said, nigga, please.
and now we know. This moment in American history with Dwayne Perkins. This moment, in shameful American history.
And the first person kind of had an African accent as much as I could do it. And then the second person did.
The second guy's just...
He was from Detroit,
yes,
actually.
That's cool. I like it.
Well, and Bruce Leroy is like a virgin. Like, that's another thread that goes through this, is that he's like 25 years old, and he lives at home with his parents, and he's a pizza delivery
dude, a
master of kung fu.
He is not. They don't explain him.
Mess.
They don't explain him at all. They don't give him any backstory as to why the hell he is the way he is.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad because it gave them the ample time to devote to his little brother bullying
shit.
His little brother is like, you're a bitch. I'm going to tell you why you're a bitch.
How has this dude not been in more stuff? I looked at his IMDb and it's anemic.
You know what? It was so funny to me because
he was so
good that I immediately kind of attributed him to someone else. I was like, he reminds me of someone, and I couldn't think of who it was. And yeah, he was just this kid. He's the little brother of one of the members of the Sugar Hill Gang. So that's how I imagine.
Wow.
That's how I imagine. Guys, first episode I've ever done research.
Only because I was
confused. But he was fucking funny, and his timing was so pitch perfect.
Yeah.
He was the best actor in the film.
Legitimately the best actor in the film.
And
who played Rudy in the Cosby Show, was
cameos,
a distant second.
Yeah, she was sitting there. That was awesome.
I think
that's why
I automatically assumed that he was somebody, because everyone who popped into this movie, I'm like, oh, I know who that is.
Barry Gordy with the Barry Gordy connections.
But God, his little brother just ripping him.
Yeah, he ripped them a new one.
And he just sits there and takes it. And it is, I'm like, who came up with the idea? I want to meet the writer who was like, you know what? Let's have this sibling that treats him like shit, but let's make him way younger than him.
Because
that is hilarious.
Because that's the only way that kid doesn't get his ass kicked.
Oh,
that's
my
why.
God. Oh, it's so funny, though. Like, he disowns him. He says, you are not my brother.
He calls him cornball.
Oh, it makes me so...
That's
he
great.
Tells him, he graphically at one point, I don't know how old this kid was supposed to be. Seemed like he was maybe 12, 13.
Yeah, 12, 13.
He at one point graphically tells his virgin older brother how to fuck.
Yeah.
I was just like...
Moves.
And he's like, he starts thrusting his little 13-year-old pelvis. It was very uncomfortable.
and then he admits to the girl that he's a virgin later on.
Yeah.
And he keeps saving her life. And all she wants to do, I'm going to say, but all she wants to do is give him the pussy.
Yeah.
And he keeps not understanding.
She's thrusting. throwing the pussy at him.
I would.
Like ninja stars. She's like, you want to come upstairs? You want a drink? And he's like bowing down and like, I gotta go open the pizzeria tomorrow morning. I'm like, whatever the fuck
I gotta find the master who's a machine, who prints fortune cookies.
I have to say, for as much as he had mastered kung fu, I would argue that Bruce Leroy was mentally underdeveloped.
I think so. Like, yeah, I think that's a good point.
He was not okay.
But you know, like, if you haven't seen the movie,
listen, watch it. If you haven't seen it,
there's a moment where someone catches a bullet between their teeth. Okay, and that's not the most ridiculous moment.
No, you know what I mean? No.
That might be the most believable.
Not by a long shot. I always loved, even when I was a kid, I thought I called bullshit, but I love it anyway. When the brother is tied up and he pop locks out of the ropes.
Oh my God.
He's like doing the robot.
Yeah, he's like shimmying out of the ropes. Right. And then he gets to a certain point where it's like, if I just make these dance moves.
Right.
And it's like the rope was off of him. Now you're just showing off.
Yeah, right.
That was great. That was really funny.
It's you got it. This movie is just.
Not a minute that goes by that you aren't thoroughly enjoying it.
And it's diverse. Like, they gave everyone an acting job. There's white people in it. They're like four. You know, like when, like how often do you see a movie with like five Asian people and it's not an Asian movie? You know,
Like,
I like though that all the Asian guys weirdly acted black in the movie. Yeah, right. It was like to counteract Bruce Leroy acting Asian.
Or at least
Asian.
They were like, "What the fuck are you doing?" Even his master was like, "Dude, I'm hanging out with my mom in Miami. Chill the fuck out."
That was hilarious. Yeah. I have to go see my mom in Miami. He sounded like Splinter from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Oh, I loved it. Let's launch into these games, guys. Every week we do a couple different games in relation to the movie. This week, the first one is Pitch Me the Sequel. There needs to be more of this movie. So what's part two? Dwayne, you want to start it off?
Okay, I'll start it off. What I thought was this, and I know it's not only sort of matching a mixing of genres. It's two different kind of movies. But I thought, what if... So Bruce Leroy does his thing. He gets a girl. And... So I want to make part two of The Last Dragon part 3.5 of The Karate Kid. So basically Bruce Leroy and Danielson fight it out.
Nice.
And it builds up to a tournament. And it's like all of Harlem is there and they're rooting for Danielson. And all of Orange, L.A. County or Encino is there. And they're rooting for – and I don't know how – where they would meet. In the middle of the country, I don't know how it works out, but I want to see him fight the Karate Kid.
I like it. Yeah,
that's beautiful. Mine's a little involved. So you know, he gets the glow, and then he gets the girl. Oh yeah, his body glows, by the way, because when you're good enough at kung fu,
you reach that next state. Yeah,
then your body glows. So my sequel obviously begins right where we left off, with Laura teaching Bruce Leroy how to fuck. And sorry if you get offended by any of this. So during the fuck session, Leroy gets the glow, and he comes so hard it blows the top of her head off.
Oh, all right,
I like that.
And so he joins a Buddhist monastery and vows never to fuck again because his dick is a murderer. while at the monastery, he runs into his old enemy, Shonuff, who is now going by his Christian name, Danny Shonuffy. And since he's been dealing with the final level longer, he teaches Bruce Leroy how to control the power in his body.
Fuck people's heads off.
how to control his dick during montages set to circa 1987 Motown albums, such as Bruce Willis's The Return of Bruno.
Yes. So I like it. That's deep.
That's a wonderful. And these montages, are they like basically beat off montages?
Yes. When it reached the final level,
I did not go as involved as that. That's deep. I just have Bruce Leroy realizes that there's no money in karate, so he starts a P90X like workout fad.
Oh,
that is
great.
Like 90% catching arrows.
That is great.
A bunch of people get injured really bad. He gets sued. Just things go terribly for Bruce Leroy.
That's funny.
While we're talking about the sequels, there actually has been a lot of talk in the past few years about remaking this, which I
cannot
against.
Believe this is
do
the
not
first
do
movie
it.
That made you do research. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
I know, right? Every
we did it,
Danielle,
you guys.
You don't know every other episode. I'm just like, I don't know. I just don't. I don't. Right. I watch the movie. I don't do research. So let's cast a remake. There's been a lot of people thrown out there. I'll start this one off. I went kind of serious. If they were to do this as like a legit movie, because you can't remake it as the type of movie it was.
Oh no, it'd be like
it
RoboCop,
fall
where
flat
there's
gonna
have
face.
Like a plot.
Yeah, it's got to be real. Oof. So as Bruce Leroy, I want John Boyega from Attack the Block. That kid was the shit. Moses? He was the main act. Yeah, yeah, Moses.
Oh, I love that movie, by the way.
So, yes. And again, this is if this was very serious. Although, and Shownuff is Idris Elba.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you went English.
My panties just blew off.
Idris Elba in the Shownuff outfit. Imagine
that. Oh, my God. I'm done, you guys.
Eddie Arcadian is Bryan Cranston. And Laura Charles, the musician, is Paula Patton. So I just decided, I'm like, I can't go funny. I can't go funny.
That's pretty solid.
But also, don't fucking remake this movie. Don't remake it. Go ahead, Danielle.
Well, I did because I want it to not happen.
It's just going
to
be really, really funny, and I should go first? Or...
No. Okay, this is just me.
Funny doesn't want to get blown out of the water.
This is just my nightmare remake.
Okay.
Is that, like, this is what would happen that I don't want to happen, because I don't want it to happen ever, which would be, like, Jaden Smith as Bruce Leroy.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like, Terrence Howard as Shownuff.
Yeah.
Rihanna as Vanity as Laura Charles, because I feel like you have That's to go funny. Through Vanity before you, know, you get to Laura
Rihanna
Charles.
Rihanna has actually been mentioned as, like, a legitimate candidate
not,
for that remake.
Mm-mm. Can you, never say, no, I'm, see, no. now I'm just angry. Yeah, and yeah. then, I didn't cast Eddie Arcadian, but just any white guy.
Yeah. Honestly, Eddie Arcadian was the most, it was just the prototypical, like, crazy 80s white guy. Like,
probably Bob, the English dude that was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
He was very much, he reminded me of Eddie Valiant in the Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I don't know if it was just the name and people constantly saying, Eddie! but yeah, it's Bob Hoskins.
Eddie, I'm scared.
Is he alive? Is Bob Hoskins alive?
I don't know.
Rest in peace, Bob Hoskins. I don't know. Dwayne, who you got, man?
Yeah. If you're alive, keep on doing what you're doing.
Keep on trucking.
But, you know, I don't know. I went kind of like semi-serious. I thought Bruce Lee would be played by Drake.
Ooh.
Because, you know, you got that like black guy who's in Degrassi High. And, you know, like Drake, when he talks, I'll give him a lot of credit. He speaks really proper. Like, he doesn't like act like he can't speak. Like, he, you know. But then when he rhymes, you're like, oh, wait, is that the same guy? So anyway, so Drake is Bruce Leroy. I don't know if he knows any martial arts. Now, the brother, who was supposed to be younger, but I thought it would be Tracy Morgan. I
just thought, just playing a child, though. That would, I love right, it. Right. Like,
hey,
like,
you ain't got no moves.
No, just put Tracy Morgan, CGI his face onto a 13-year-old kid.
Somebody get pregnant.
I'm in. Yeah. I am in.
Uh-huh. And I had Rihanna as well.
Nice.
Now, here's my little twist that I threw in that I thought could just add another layer to the whole thing. The Eddie Arcanian, however you say his name, the villain, Chris Brown.
Ooh.
You see? Chris Brown was in the running for Taymak's part. He was Bruce Lee. He's being talked about as Bruce Leroy. Mm. I imagine this was before shit kind of went south. Yeah. Especially, they're talking about Rihanna, too.
But see, I would have him play the villain.
I like it.
And everyone would be like, well, there fights on set. You know, because he had a fight with Drake.
I like it.
You know, and then on the set, because they had a fight at a club and they were throwing wine bottles at each other, there would only be plastic water bottles on set just to make sure everything was irie.
Nobody getting cut.
And then for the father, even though he's a, you know, like a sort of a second level character, the father, Bruce Leroy's father,
was it Green?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. John Amos from The Good Times, if I'm saying his.
He is definitely dead.
No, he's.
Rest in peace, John Amos. I don't know.
Is he alive? Listen,
he was younger. He was actually not that old in Good Times. He was like a few years older than JJ, and he just had a receding hairline. So they just
sort of.
That's funny.
Yeah,
That's like. That's the white people equivalent of the Golden Girls.
Yeah, right.
Dorothy's mom in the Golden Girls, I think, was
the
younger.
Youngest one.
Yeah.
One.
Craziness.
Yeah.
Did you cast the show enough? Did you say it? Did I miss it?
Oh, wait. Oh, God damn it.
Just
I don't have show enough.
Just pick one out of no. You know what? I thought Busta Rhymes would be great.
Busta Rhymes would be great.
Let's do it. And he can also tell stories about how he got the clap from Nicole Richie, which is a story that he tells sometimes.
Oh my God. You should tell it all the time. That's a great story.
You get show enough the clap.
Do I have the clap? Show enough. I like it. You know what, Dwayne? We only have time for one more. And since you picked these games, why don't you pick the last one?
I want to skip the four.
Okay.
Because the guy, Taymak, who... you would think good-looking guy, knows karate, somehow didn't land in a bunch of movies.
Right? Yeah, despite his stellar acting chops.
I saw him on the train in New York last year, but people still know him.
That's funny. He's got to be. You're in that cult movie,
and like, he looks good. But people are like Bruce Leroy, and he's
that's great. He's probably this movie probably ruined his life.
Yeah,
it made him enough money to like last a while, right. And now he's just tormented by it.
So my thing is, listen, I thought he did a good enough job. I don't know if it was bad acting or great acting. That I can't tell because like the role, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I will say this: I'm thinking the question we have is Tay-Mac. Right now, put him in a movie, any movie or TV show, and cast him. Either just insert him or as someone or a new role. And I'll start since it's kind of weird, so you get an idea. I thought, listen, we need to bring this guy back. He was great in The Last Dragon. I want to see him in Game of Thrones as Bruce Leroy, though. just like they go to a castle and he's there, and then don't even explain it. He's just Bruce Leroy, and he helps one of the.
Danny's panties
dragons.
Just fall off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If he doesn't ride a dragon, I mean, he has to, right? Like that. They say the last dragon in yes. Game of Thrones a
right.
lot.
And he and then he sort of and then maybe he kills the dragon. And he goes, "I'm the last dragon,"
and that's the end. Freeze frame, and that's how the series ends. Right. Freeze frame on Bruce Leroy. I put him. I want him as a coach in The Voice. He has stellar vocal skills. He could do that perfect Bruce Lee kung fu yell.
Hey, my man.
So I want to put him. Once in a while the chair spins around and it's fucking Tay-Mac in that ridiculous
hat. That is
awesome.
That is
and
awesome.
He has to explain in his very appropriated way of speaking like an
like
Asian.
The racist Asian thing, yeah.
You
right.
will notice Miss Christina Aguilera did not turn her chair. I wonder why.
Yeah, that's...
like, fuck you, Bruce Leroy.
That is tremendous. That's
Danielle, tremendous. Where are you putting him?
I thought... because I know he's probably afraid of how typecast he gets, I would make him Don Draper in Mad Men. Because I feel like Mad Men needs more black dudes than aren't elevator operators. Because Mad Men is such a quiet, it's like watching an Ibsen play.
Oh, it is so quiet.
And so I feel like a good way to bring viewers in is just like, you know, Don goes to her, you know, he's like, oh, life is like a carousel, blah, 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 whatever. And then when the dudes don't like his pitch, he just gets the glow on him and kicks ass. Like, I think that what Mad Men is missing is a black dude
great.
That emanates light.
That's
I
great.
Like it. I like. I think every show is missing that. That's guys, that about does it. Again, this is another movie that I could talk about for days.
Yeah.
So much fun. Thank you for picking it. Awesome choice. Danielle, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me again. That's
shout
super
out,
fun.
Shout out your Twitter, whatever you want to promote. I know you have a festival coming up.
Yeah, my Twitter is just at Danielle Radford, and that's Danielle. Some people spell it Daniel because you're wrong. And then yeah. just Radford, like Bradford without the B, Danielle Radford. And my website is just Danielle-Radford.com because there's this really famous, gorgeous black model who lives in Paris who got DanielleRadford.com
that
before
bitch.
Me. Fucking cut. I will try.
I hope there you're listening.
There can be only one. I'm going to fucking cut that bitch's head off. Highlander style.
Very nice.
I'm sorry. Too real. I'm going to be at the Women in Comedy Festival Mother's Day weekend out in Boston.
Sounds good.
Solid. And I'm at Funny DP, Hot Chocolate for the Mind on Amazon. Holla at your boy.
I am at TK Kelly Comedy on Twitter, and I guess a couple weeks after this drops, I'll be in New York for a week doing shows, so just check out my website for that schedule. Guys, thanks as always for tuning in. Danielle, thanks again, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.